Okay, I wanted to ask about Belgian medicine. Do you remember any of the things like your mother or your grandmother did if you had a cold or the chicken pox or any sort of disease like that?
No, but everybody had on their kitchen shelf King of Pain. I remember it, yet it had a crown on the label, King of Pain.
What was that?
It's cure-all.
Where did you get it from?
The grocery stores always handled a few articles. They'd have cough medicine.
Did you take that whenever you were sick with anything?
I took cough medicine when I was 19 working at Denmark. And I couldn't make out a sales slip for 2 days after that.
Why?
See, most of those have opium or something on the top, you know, or they had some dope, some drug on the, and it floated to the top, and I never shook the bottle. It said, shake well before taking, and I didn't shake it at all. I was so stupid, I couldn't think.
I can imagine. What do you think the King of Pain had in it?
I don't know. It was kind of pinkish, so when you applied it, it would turn white.
Oh, you put it on your skin?
Yeah, for something. I don't know for what pain, what kind of pain it was for. I don't remember, but I still remember King of Pain. But we did like this wild cherry cough syrup. Oh, we'd have taken the whole bottle if they'd let us.
It you
was
had that?
Good tasting, yeah. Mm. Wild cherry cough syrup.
Huh.
And, of course, all the drugstores in town here, they had sign painters paint signs on the large stones all the way on every road in the country. Wherever there was a large stone, there'd be a sign there which would read Sunrise Herb Tea, and they'd have a painting of the sunrise and all.
Yeah.
Herb tea, that was for physics.
Really? Did you ever drink the herb tea for anything?
Well, sure. We folks, you watch, you know, if you're constipated, boy, you've got herb tea. That's the only why I never liked tea. I don't like tea this day.
What did it taste like, regular tea or different?
No, there was anise and all those different things in it, you know, you could taste it. I never liked it.
Did it work?
Oh, did it work? Sure, you got up with the sun.
Maybe that's why they called it that.
And then there was another one. Do you remember what it was, Lil? Another one of those signs on the stones in the country. Once in a great while, I still see one of them that hasn't totally faded out. I know the Sunrise, Schrader's drugstore on corner of Main and Wash and Webster, he advertised Sunrise Herb Tea. But then there was a couple others with that kind of a clever saying, you know, for a name. You know.
Was that like on rock, sort of cliffs beside the road, or
no,
boulders?
Just a great big boulder, you know, and they'd paint that right on the boulder.
Gee, I've never seen that. I wish
all
I could
I
see some of those.
Is castor oil.
Castor oil. Did you have to take that too?
I'm not honest, no.
Sure.
Lil was a weakling. She had to take that. She doesn't like fish to this day. I can't even have goldfish. She don't like fish.
Yeah, cod liver oil. They gave it to all the kids then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they give it to you at school?
No.
Just in the home?
No, you didn't get anything at school.
Somehow. That's why I don't like fish.
What exactly would your mother do if one of you got a cold? What sort of things would she do to you?
Gee, I don't remember. I know we'd have to go to bed. We didn't like that. But them days, I don't know, kids seem to get more severe colds. They'd cough and bring up stuff, you know, and not only not have handkerchiefs, they'd always use their sleeves, you know, for their nose. My brother's sleeves were always stiff. He was always sick.
So did he usually stay up and around while he was sick, or did he always stay right down in bed?
Oh, you can't keep kids in bed, no, they get out.
Hmm. What about more severe diseases like, you know, measles or chicken pox? Did you ever remember an epidemic
of
that sort?
No, but I remember the epidemic in Door County of smallpox.
Oh.
I don't recall what year that was, but that must have been about 1896 or somewhere along there, because I don't think I was in school yet. But they got a bunch of doctors in there from the different cities. I was too small. I don't remember what cities they came from, but there was one doctor came at our neighbor's place, and all of us other neighbors congregated there, and we're all vaccinated.
Oh, so then none of you got it, the vaccination?
We didn't get it, no. you were all vaccinated, and it was kind of a rough job. It wasn't a needle then, you know, it was a...
Oh, you still have the mark?
Is it? Oh, it must have. It. Yeah.
Oh, right there. Yeah, I see.
They took a piece of... it looked like ivory. And be about so shaped.
Now, what is that about? We should get that. It's kind of...
About that long.
Kind of a long rectangle?
About 2-3 inches long. And they dip it in water, they'd scratch on your arm until the blood came, until a little blood showed up.
Was it pointed at the end then?
Pointed, yeah, it's just like that. It's just... And it scratched in one spot. It's kind of, it get on your nerves, you know, so scratching on one spot. My dad's reacted, and his got about that large, and scab about that thick. Of course, he was careless. He'd go in to visit the neighbors that had smallpox, and we could hear him screaming from outside from pain.
What is smallpox like, and what happened?
I don't know, but there was a lot of it. I know my Uncle Joe went to business college here in Green Bay. Then he went to Dixon, Illinois for advanced bookkeeping. When he came out, he was head bookkeeper for Godfrey & Brothers, which today is Morley Murphy's. Mm. I still have some letters of his. Yeah. I keep everything.
Yeah.
And he said he was picking out his smallpox with his penknife. They all had a penknife. You didn't have erasers then, so you took a knife and you just skipped. Scratching the jet till you erased and whatever you wanted erased.
Yeah.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
You can scratch that ink off with a knife, but you got to go at it lightly.
I remember when a man near our house had smallpox, and they built a high board fence around the whole lot.
Like a quarantine sort of thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really the quarantine, just a high board fence.
Huh. And no one in his family was allowed to go out?
No.
Oh, they were dying like flies during that epidemic in the 1890s, the late 90s.
Hmm.
I know the Minos. And the town officers would bring the casket to their front gate or on their porch and then go away. And then the family would put their deceased member in the casket.
Yeah.
And the town officers would come back and pick up the casket.
No.
And take it
they
out.
They would have no funeral for those.
Take
people?
It out to the cemetery and bury them.
Didn't they have a wake or a funeral for
nothing?
That?
You couldn't go in the places; they wouldn't let you. The epidemic.
I see. Was the vaccination sponsored by the government, or how did that come about?
It was town officers that did that. That picked up the body.
No, the vaccination. I mean.
Oh, I don't know who took care of the bill, but
it was free for the people then.
Yeah.
I see.
But that did stop it. That vaccination, that stopped it.
Yeah.
That's the only epidemic I remember.
Do you ever remember that your house was quarantined for anything?
No.
You never got anything that bad?
No.
How often did the doctor usually...
For a few years after that, in the early 1900s, I have seen signs on houses where they were quarantined. They were quite a large size, about 10 by 12 or something like that.
Hmm.
So you weren't admitted in the house.
What
but they tacked that on the front of your house.
What sort of things was that for, besides?
Well, that you were not permitted to enter, that they, that,
what
they,
sort of diseases?
That they had diphtheria or what have you, what have you. Diphtheria was a bad deal, too. Your tongue would get awful thick and split. My first wife had that. I guess you never got over it, really.
Hmm. Where do you get that from?
I don't know where it comes from.
How often did the doctor usually come to visit your house?
When was this?
When you were real young out on the farm.
Never. Never. We never had a doctor at the house.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
What about the birth of children?
Mrs. DeWitt took care of that. She brought every one of us. And she had a family of about 12, 13.
Was she a neighbor? Or,
yes.
And then did your mother help her?
That I don't recall, but every time there was one born, we all both were given notice because they'd always take us to a neighbor or somewhere, you know. Mm. When we come home, then there was a new sister or something.
And you didn't know where it came from, huh?
No, never. Oh, we didn't. Them days, heck, you never, well, even as in all my life. I never heard that word pregnant like they advertise it today and sex and all that stuff. You never heard that.
What did you think when your mother was growing big?
We were stupid. We never even noticed it.
Oh, didn't you?
I thought she was getting fat.
How old were you before you realized that sort of thing?
I guess I never realized it till I was married. No, we led a more innocent life than they do today. Boy, today it's too bad. I think the communists got us by. I think that's communistic inspired, all this low morals and all that stuff, you know. Mm. I really think that. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but gal, they lived together before they married. Them days, boy, if you kept company with a girl and you thought she had an affair with somebody, why, you wouldn't marry her. No, that would be out. Because you figured if she had an affair with one, she probably had the whole township.
Hmm. Were there many girls like that around that you remember?
I just know of one. My grandmother didn't want my dad to marry a certain woman. And after I was married, my dad told me why. He said that was the reason that she was taking on all comers. My grandmother at that time, you know, if the family had a little money, then that's where they wanted your children to marry into the family with the money, you know. There wasn't any money.
Did anyone get married to that particular girl that was...
Oh, yes. I know where she lived. I know her daughters, too.
And someone must not have known.
But I'm not telling either.
Yeah, okay. I'm not asking either. What about your father? Did he stick around when your mother had children? Or did he go away to another house with you?
Yes, I don't know. I wasn't home, so I wouldn't know.
Let me see.
No, it was much nicer that way, being married, and you, well, at least you felt they were innocent, you know. It was much nicer than now. Now, I think that's the cause of all our divorces today, you know. Like I listened to a television the other day, over 40% of married women having affairs with other men after they're married. Mm-hmm. Well, now that's something that shouldn't be. All speed and no control.
That's an interesting thing. What about diseases? You couldn't really call them diseases, but what about sore throats and earaches and headaches and that sort of thing? What did your mother do for a sore throat?
There was always, what was that, goose grease and camphor, Lil?
Yes, I don't know.
Goose grease and, I know it smelled awful.
That was for
sure. If you got a cold, you got your chest greased up, that's what you did.
Oh, really? With goose grease?
Oh, yes, goose grease, but it had, I think it was camphor in it.
Oh, so what did that do? How did it feel?
Supposedly cured your cold.
Oh, did it feel warm or...
I don't remember. I know it smelled like the Dickens.
I remember when I had an earache, my mother would get my dad to smoke and blow the smoke in my ear.
Oh, really?
My dad did that to my brother Fred, too. He always had scabs in his ears or a scab on his chin. Kids had a lot of scabs at those days. I don't know why. And my dad had always smoked a pipe. So he'd make a funnel over the head of the pipe after it was lit and blew the smoke into his ear through the stem, you know, the smoke.
Oh.
It would be in reverse. Instead of sucking on the stem, you know, to get the smoke in his mouth, he would blow in the head of the pipe and blow the smoke into the ear. That is supposed to dry it up.
To get rid of the scab?
Mm-hmm.
Would he do that with the scabs other places on his body, too? Or?
No, just in the ear. I remember that he'd do that in his ears.
What if you did have like a skinned knee? How was that taken care of, or was that just left?
Just left.
Nothing at all. Do you remember?
Well, I remember this thing here. That fell off the fence.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about that one.
Well,
that
the lady, really lady that was just coming in with the trash crew, she just went to the house, got a cup of lard, and filled that with lard and tied her red bandana around it. That's all the treatment for. Well, the doctor said...
I wanted to ask if you remember how your mother took care of blisters. Or didn't you ever get any?
Well, they'd always burst them.
Oh, really? How would they do that?
Needle. Yeah, nothing else. You didn't go to a doctor for every little thing then. The doctor was... The nearest doctor we had was at Algoma from our farm, and that is 12 miles away. And by the time you get there with a horse and buggy, why, you'd be dead if you had a bad cut.
Yeah.
And maybe by the time you got to Algoma, he'd be on a call with his horse and buggy on a farm somewhere.
What was the doctor's name?
I don't remember the doctor's name, but we had a Dr. Halloin at Luxembourg. But we didn't go to Luxembourg. We went to Algoma, but I don't remember the doctor's name because we never went to him.
Did your mother have any home cures for bee stings?
No.
Didn't she? I was wondering if there was any medicine that she gave you that she made herself, that she didn't buy at the store, that
no.
she cooked up herself.
No, my mother didn't. I explained the cures that my dad always knew, you know, for fever, you know, those onions I told you about, and wrap the leg in onions to draw the fever.
Yeah, did he have any other ones besides that?
No, he had all kinds of them, but I don't remember any of them. The one was the spider webs, remember I told you about
those?
Yeah,
the spider webs.
He had all kinds of them. His grandmother, he got them from his grandmother. Anything that came from his grandmother or the Indians, that was always good.
Oh, really? Do you remember any of the things that came from his grandmother or
no,
the Indians?
No, I don't. I just remember one weed. Some people have them in their garden. We have some in the back garden here. They'd peel the leaf of it. It was a big squashy leaf, and they'd peel it and put it on their lip, or they had a sore on their lip, you know, or something like that.
You don't remember what the name of it was?
No.
But it does grow pretty commonly. Could it be plantain?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Because I've heard of that before.
You know, a lot of it was uppermost in their heads, you know, but you get over anything without it. You get over things even without a doctor, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the other plants that they used for curing sicknesses?
No, they call that the yep de coiffure. That's a weed for cuts.
Yep, say that again?
Yep de coiffure.
Is that Walloon?
I think so. Of course, that's close to French.
Yeah. Was that prepared?
See, the Walloons, they read and write French because they have no press. And the Flemish, I think they read and write the Holland language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Huh. Do you remember if that plant was mushed up in any way or prepared, or was it just put the leaf itself?
Oh, you'd squash it, press it like this, and the top skin would come loose, so we'd take that off and put the leaf on your lip or whatever. Mostly with lip, I noticed.
Yeah.
I don't even recall if it was cold sores or what. I suppose they were.
Huh.
There were diseases you never heard of them days, too.
Like what?
My grandfather, Noel, died of dyspepsia.
What's that?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know. I was so small. But he was my godfather, so I was allowed to go to his funeral. Oh. I was 8 years old when he died.
Huh. Do you remember what the symptoms were?
No, I don't.
Dyspepsia.
I know he was sick. My dad would go and see him drive with a horse and buggy 8 miles. But when he died, I was allowed to go to his funeral.
Hmm.
That was the first funeral with a hearse.
Them
days they put your casket in the wagon, you know.
Yeah.
Too big for a buggy, so they put you in a wagon.
Did they put it in?
And during the winter time, you were in a bobsled. Put the casket in the bobsled. There was no hearses then. And at my grandfather's, the funeral director was, they didn't embalm them days. And the bodies had bloated.
How quick would that happen?
Oh, a day or so after. Some of them would even drip on the floor in church sometimes.
Mm.
No, it was messy. I remember caskets before my grandfather's. My grandfather's had a black covered casket with, covered with crepe, and it was lined. But I remember the Mr. Bazin's casket. That was just plain three boards and one for the cover. And the no lining.
Did the family make the caskets themselves?
Or no, there was a neighbor who had the... He was one of the early guys, the early farmers, to have a windmill. See, everybody didn't have windmills either. They weren't any such animal. So he mounted a windmill on his barn or work shed. I think it was really a work shed he had. I know where his buildings are yet, but the windmill's taken off. So was my grandfather. He had a windmill too. And later on, though. But this guy, that's where that expression comes from. How tall was he? I would say 6 foot. Well, then he'd have to make a casket a little better than 6 foot.
Oh, huh. And so this guy made caskets?
You've seen pictures where they've, in pictures on TV or elsewhere, where the undertaker measure the body and also.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it was them days. And I got scared that time too of a dead man. The man had a large nose, and there was two young fellows came in to see him. He was in a little, it was a formerly a pantry, so it was narrow. And that box was on two chairs, you know, the foot on one chair and the head on the other chair. And I was nosy. I wanted to see the old fella. But I was scared, kind of scared. I was young, very young. And these two guys come along that were going to take a look at the body, pushed me against the against the casket, and I saw that big nose, and that scared me.
Was that your uncle or your?
No, no relation. It's just a neighbor's town chairman. Their buildings are right next to our old school. My old school's still up. So is my dad's.
Oh, really?
Huh. Oh, I gave you pictures of
that. Yeah, right. This guy who made the caskets, did he do that for a living?
His name was Kalmberg. No, he was a farmer.
How do you spell that?
C-A-W-E-N.
E-M?
B-E-R-G.
Was he Belgian?
Yeah. And his brother had a store next to his farm, and his brother and his family sold the store, and they moved to a little town near Pulaski. So when you see, they had a very big family, and they have a reunion every year, those Kalmbergs at Pampin Park. Boy, they have a big family.
What was his first name?
They called him Jeff. I don't know how you pronounce that. Jeff, there's no G.
Yeah.
Maybe G, maybe G. I don't know, Jeff Kalmberg.
Huh. Did he, was
and
he
my
paid?
Grandfather used to use his windmill. He had a hay cutter, straw cutter, or whatever you call them, I don't know, hay or straw. And he used to cut tobacco. Everybody raised tobacco.
They did?
Yeah, so my grandfather used to, since he had a windmill, he'd be cutting the tobacco for all the neighbors.
Huh.
Chop it, you know, fine, you know,
yeah.
Like.
What was done with the tobacco, just smoked and chewed, or?
That's all, smoked.
So you didn't raise very much tobacco, just for your own personal use?
Well, my grandfather had a big garden, and that was always my job. You see, they on tobacco, they only leave about, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9 leaves on the plant, and they nip the tip of the plant. Oh. But when you nip the tip of any plant, then it sprouts out.
Yeah,
above each leaf, you had another sprout. So every few days, I had to go and snip those sprouts off. They just wanted the strength to go into the leaves and no sprout, except he'd leave one or two grow tall, you know, for seed. You know.
Yeah. Huh. Let me see. What kind of? Oh, I was going to ask you just to get back to medicine, so I can finish that up. If you remember how any of your sick animals were ever treated, or.
Yes, that I remember. That we had one horse that got sick, and this, I heard the folks talk about the veterinarian had been running around throughout the country so much and he laid on a horse blanket on some straw in the barn with the horse. And he slept there. He slept at our house. And that he took something to go to sleep. And that was, that seemed strange to me.
The vet did?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because we never took anything to sleep. Heck,
yeah, what do you think
he
took?
We played hard and slept hard.
What do you think he took to go to sleep?
I wouldn't have any idea. But there must have been something then to go to sleep. Whether it was drugs or must have been some type of a drug.
Yeah, what
there was no Somanex at that time.
What was the matter with the horse?
I don't know.
Do you know what sort of treatment he gave?
See, I was so small, but always nosy, I suppose, because, yeah. Well, that's all that you saw is what you had on your farm. If the folks went to town, they'd leave you off at the neighbor's or something like that.
Yeah.
And what was there to play with? Nobody had toys. I remember when they went to town one time, they left us off at Barrow's, the next farm to us. Well, we played with the grinder, you know, this flat stone like this, about this big around.
For grinding what?
For grinding, sharpening your scythe.
Oh. Huh. You make your toys yourself.
Sure. Sure, we'd get a couple of boxes and sit in the orchard in the shade and make the noise like a thrash machine used to when it was driven by horsepower. The thrash machine would go, you could hear them from miles away.
Mm.
The cylinder is speeding, you know, and the faster it goes, the better it thrashes. So.
Do you remember what that veterinarian's name was?
No. No, I don't.
You only remember him coming that one time then?
That's right. And the horse died anyway.
Oh, well. What did you do with the horse after it died? Did you make a big coat out of it like that, or?
No, we didn't at that time. A lot of people used to drag them out in the woods. At that time, there'd be wolves or some animals that would devour it, you know. Because who could dig a hole that big for a horse?
Yeah, really.
I remember as a kid going through the woods in my in-laws' woods. You'd find the head of a cow or the head of a horse, you know, the skeleton, the bone. Now you never see that anymore because the soap factory picks up this stuff now.
Right. Yeah, they didn't have any sort of rendering works at all.
Oh, no. My mother made her own soap with lye and fat from fryings, you know. Oh, everybody did. In fact, of late years, Mrs. Crumdick was Father Gale's cook at the cathedral just a few years back.
About the one in Green Bay?
What?
Which cathedral is that?
In Green Bay here. And she was from the old school, you know, and conservative. And she made soap from lye and fat from their meats.
Did that get sudsy like regular soap? What
was
it like?
Oh, sure. You have a lot of lye in some of the soaps you use too, I imagine. I don't know. I know my first wife removed the paint off from our kitchen. That's the only where I lived, at 1227 Stewart Street here when I was first married. There was the only room that had a hardwood floor in was the kitchen. And so she thought she'd have a nice varnished floor. So she got a few cans of lye, put on her rubbers, and she went after and got all that brown paint off from the hardwood floor and then varnished it after.
How about that? Pretty strong stuff.
Oh, yeah, women worked.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was going to do that till I come home and she was done with it.
Wow. I was going to ask you some more about funerals, if you remember what it was like to be at a wake, what sort of things went on.
Well, the Irish, I remember when I was keeping books for Enns Brothers at Denmark in 1909, I started. Every time an Irishman died, we'd have to have some clay pipes. And they came in little crates, like strawberry crates, only smaller. And they weren't packed in anything, and half of them were broken, you know.
Clay pipes?
Yeah, clay pipes for a penny. They sold for a penny.
What were they used for?
They would smoke at the wakes, the Irish would, and drink whiskey.
Why the clay pipes?
That I don't know. I don't know. Did you see on St. Patrick's Day, some of them wear a little clay pipe on their lapel?
Yeah.
I don't know why they smoke clay pipe. Later on, the corn cob pipe came in. They made those from corn cobs.
Yeah.
And that was a nice job for a pipe.
Were you ever too awake in a Belgian family?
No. No. See, I left the... My folks sold the farm in 19, moved off of the farm. They sold it and moved off in April 1902. I was just looking at those old school pictures of ours just before you came in.
Yeah.
And I know 1902, I went to that school on Mason Street. We call it the Mason Street School. I think they call it the Roosevelt School now.
Yeah.
And I was, Miss Hughes was my teacher.
Were funerals in town different than out in the country? I mean, how was the change from being living in the country to coming to town?
Well, I don't remember any. Only my sister Irene died when the first year we moved to town. My sister Irene, she was 4 1/2. Well, my dad never cared for working by the day. He always preferred being a farmer. But my mother was hurt, a runaway horse. She was hauling the milk to the cheese factory, and my mother... The horse ran away and threw my mother out of the buggy with the milk and everything, and her back struck a culvert, and so after that she couldn't work. So he had to get rid of the farm. We kids were too small yet to work the farm, so we came to town here, and he went to work for Chemnitz Furniture Factory, which was situated right where the Northwest Engineering is now. On the west end of Walnut Street Bridge. $1.25 a day for 10 hours, 6 days a week, 60 hours. Then he got $1.50 a day at Murphy's Mill, lumber mill at the mouth of the bay. That was a big write-up in last Sunday's paper on Murphy's Mill. There he got $1.50 a day. How he got to be a lumber grader, I don't know, because he never had anything to do with lumber, otherwise he was a cheesemaker.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Then he became an oiler there for all the machinery. That was $1.50 a day for 10 hours, 15 cents an hour with 7 kids.
Oh, that's incredible. Maybe I should turn this over.